Greetings, this is Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration. I have been reading through Isaiah recently and then coming to the end of Isaiah there. You know, a lot of Isaiah talks about prophecies of things that's going to happen, and a lot of them could be a little discouraging or some of the things, but then you come to the end of Isaiah and I was just inspired by you know, what is to come beyond all the difficulties and the wars and things that we're experiencing now. So I'm going to start reading just in Isaiah chapter 60 maybe and make a few comments as we go along. It just talks about some interesting things that are to come. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitudes of the camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall shew forth the praises of the Lord." Here it's talking about the Gentiles. Now, of course, in Isaiah's day when this was written, that would have been a very foreign thought for them to think about the Gentiles as being worth something or God caring for the Gentiles. And yet it was a message that God kept giving throughout the ages there, even in the Old Testament. And then here, I think, you know, this prophecy, you know, we could say it was partially fulfilled at the coming of the New Covenant. And Peter is preaching to the Gentiles there in Acts chapter 10. But I think there's a greater fulfillment that's also coming, which is often the case with a lot of the prophecies that we read, is as you see a partial fulfilling under the new covenant, but then it's only a foreshadow or only a taste, like only a down payment of what is to come. Just like, for example, Malachi talks about the coming of Elijah the prophet and how he's going to come and he's going to turn the hearts of the father to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. And so but then also Jesus talks about John the Baptist being this Elijah. But then also, there's also a greater fulfillment of that. And that's just one example of how the prophecies, oftentimes they have like a two-step, you could say, fulfillment. And I think that's the case here with Isaiah chapter 6. There is a sense in which at Acts chapter 10 that the Gentiles were ushered into the kingdom under the new covenant, where it was no longer that where you had to become a Jew in order to be saved or in order to be a part of God's people. All the Gentiles were welcomed in. But also I think there's a greater fulfillment of this coming in the future, and maybe even partially we're seeing it today, is where there's multitudes of people in the Middle East who are searching, who are coming to Christ because of all the chaos, and maybe even in a fuller measure we'll see it in the future. Talks about verse 7, "All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Nebaioth." Kedar is basically one of the offspring of Ishmael, which would be the Arabs or the Muslims. Nebaioth shall minister unto you, they shall come up with acceptance unto mine altar. I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, thy silver and thy gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought, for the nation and kingdom that would not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breasts of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, and the Mighty One of Jacob. Here he's talking about Israel, about Zion, and how Israel right now is probably the most contended piece of real estate in the world. And all the chaos and destruction and you know, even animosity against it. But here it's talking about a time that will come when all of that will go away, and Israel, Zion, the holy city, will be looked up to as a beautiful place. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. That's an amazing thing, you know, when you think about all the violence and evil that's going on in the Middle East, and especially in Israel right now, where there's constant threat of war and bombs and those kind of things. And here he's saying that violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteousness, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. I think I'm going to stop there, but just, you know, some of this may be talking about the thousand-year reign. Some of it before that, I'm not sure where all these things are going to happen. But anyway, it talks of a time when Israel will be a blessing again and looked up to. So let us take courage as we see all the things going on around them, because as it says in Matthew 24, this is only the early birth pains. This is only the beginning of sorrows. But when we see all these things coming and happening, we know that our redemption is near, and that there would be a time coming when everything will be made right and everything will be brought to justice. God bless you.